Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live on our YouTube channel and all our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Alongside Dave Manouk, alongside Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Going to chat with you tonight about the Winnipeg Jets' 2-1 defeat at the hands of the Edmonton Oilers. Gentlemen, you know, I tweeted this, and I think it is apropos. If anybody tells you that the 2021 season didn't feature any exhibition games, you can tell them that they are a liar. Tonight's game had all the resemblance of an exhibition game in my mind.
Yeah, it wasn't a very pleasant game to watch, guys. Like, you know, both teams played yesterday, and, you know, we knew it was going to be a little bit sluggish for both teams. And it really was, right? Like that first period, I actually thought, you know, the Jets did a really good job considering, you know, it's second game of a back-to-back on the road. And how many shots did the Oilers have? I think it was 4 or 5. So, you know, that's a pretty good first period, right? Like the game's scoreless, so you don't have a lead or anything like that, but you're just happy, you know, that you basically get through it. Like Ray Ferraro talked about it on the broadcast, right? Like the first period is usually the hardest period, and it usually gets better as the game progresses. And, you know, it was really, you know, the Connor McDavid show tonight, because aside from, you know, those two goals, it's not like, you know, the Oilers were, you know, all over the Jets and they had, you know, 20 high danger chances, guys, and Mikko Koskinen, you know, robbed them. You know, it was a couple of turnovers, like a rim comes around the boards. Josh Morrissey's not able to handle it. You know, Connor McDavid comes in with speed, and we know that, you know, if you give him time and space, he's going to bury it. And then, you know, Derek Forbort, you know, around center ice, you know, gets caught, makes a poor decision, kind of, you know, going after Zach Cassian there. And same thing, you know, Connor McDavid comes into the Jets zone with speed and makes no mistake about it. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't a pretty game, but I don't think we expected it to be a pretty game. And I think, you know, one of the big takeaways from this game is how well the fourth line played, and also that the Jets kept battling right until the end and they almost tied it up.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. Dave? I'm sorry, I was jumping in, but I think it's one of those games, like you know, Tazzy's point earlier that he started with, both teams are coming off games last night, and it just didn't have a feel of crispness. I mean, you watched some of the passes, and they were behind each other. I mean, it didn't feel like an NHL game. I actually felt like I was watching AHL hockey, to be honest with you, because a lot of times those are the kind of passes that you're used to seeing in the AHL, just not where they're supposed to be. And a lot of times we were seeing that tonight, and it wasn't a crispy game. And I, you know, and it was evident really from the outset. And it really had the feel of a kind of a boring, you know, very kind of, I don't know.
Exhibition game.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's one of those games that if you're a fan and you went to it, you're thinking to yourself, what the hell did I just pay for? Because it really wasn't an exciting hockey game. It was boring. And really, from two teams that really have a fairly high-powered offenses, it was a little surprising to see. And you know, Connor McDavid's Connor McDavid. He's going to get his chances. And when he gets them, he can bury them. And that's what we saw tonight. But I just didn't think that the Jets buried, you know, as many opportunities. I mean, Matthew Perreault, the lone bright spot, of course, scoring his goal. And Paul Stastny hit a crossbar. But I didn't think that the Jets were overpowering by any stretch of the imagination. It just didn't feel like either team really had it throughout the course of the game.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, one thing, you know, I was just going to quickly say, Drew, you know, I was looking at the Oilers schedule, and of course we know that, you know, this is the hardest month. I don't think anybody is going to deny that for the Jets with the 17 games and 13 of them on the road, right? But the Oilers
17 games and 31 in 31 days
in 31 days, right? And then you've got the Oilers, they've got 16, and they had a couple of days in between games at the beginning of the month. But aside from that, they're in a very similar stretch as the Jets, right? Like we talked about the back-to-back games, but you've also got, you know, a game coming up in a couple of nights as well. And you had a back-to-back last week. So it's not like the Oilers are, you know, like the Leafs are in the middle of a 4-day break, right? Like it's not like the Oilers have had all these days off. When we talked about this back in mid-January, boys, when we were talking about the condensed schedule, like this is the condensed schedule, right? Like the month of March here is the most condensed month. Well, certainly for the Jets and Oilers and a lot of teams. So, I mean, I think you saw that. It was they were skate. Both teams were skating in quicksand for a lot of this game, and all it took was a couple of Jets turnovers, and Connor McDavid capitalized, and that really was the game. Sure, the Jets, you know, had some chances. You remember the Trevor Lewis breakaway? Mark Scheifele had a really good chance there, and obviously didn't get all of it. But he was left completely alone, right to the right of Mikko Koskinen. So it's not like the Jets didn't have chances. But it just was one of those games where you knew that, you know, the scoring chances were going to be few and far between, right?
Well, when players who typically bury opportunities, to your point, Ezzy, about Scheifele there at the end when the net was empty, you know, more often than not, he buries that opportunity. And when you see a guy, you know, miss in that instance, you can't help but chalk it up to fatigue. And I texted you guys this during the game. I don't know why this game was tonight and not tomorrow night. If they play this game tomorrow night and you go back-to-back Friday, Saturday, well, there's no travel involved. So they both teams play Wednesday. You know, the Jets, obviously, against the Habs last night and Edmonton in Calgary last night. You know, let them play Wednesday. Let them travel on Thursday and then let them play back-to-back Friday, Saturday. It doesn't really matter that you know, it's a back-to-back Friday, Saturday when there's no travel involved. You know, and look, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's all because of the scheduling or anything like that. I just think that this was one of those games where the schedule maker missed an opportunity to give a better game to both sides. Now the Oilers, you know, to their credit, they got the win. McDavid was better than the Winnipeg Jets, you know, best scorers on this night. And not that McDavid or Dreisaitl were fantastic, but you give those guys any opportunity and they're going to capitalize on it. And that's what we saw from McDavid. I mean, as a Jets, you know, for Jets fans who are joining us, and there's plenty of you who are up late with us tonight, and we appreciate that. You know, this isn't a game that you're going to be dwelling on. There wasn't, you know, there wasn't a lot of bad in this game. There was a lot of bad in that it was a lousy game to watch, but it's not like there's a lot of worrying trends here aside from the fact that they just didn't get the win.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think to your point, it was just, I think it's not a function of, you're saying Edmonton had an advantage, Winnipeg had an advantage. I think both teams would have been better served. And I think people watching that game would have been better served with it being played tomorrow, which is, I think, the observation you're making. And I think everyone would agree that, you know, the game we saw tonight wasn't riveting by any stretch of the imagination. And yeah, I agree with you as well. I didn't think that it was a game that you're going to, you know, be disheartened by based on what you saw. I mean, I think some of the observations we're seeing in the comment section are right. I think a lot of the times the Jets were kept to the perimeter. I mean, they had sustained pressure, but they didn't really do much with it. You know, there's one instance in the third period where they probably held the puck for 30 to 45 seconds, but really weren't able to get to the heart of the in front of the net. And
so right when the third period started there, the Scheifele Stastny Wheeler line. They, again,
yeah, exactly.
Like 90 seconds of zone control, but again, it was all cycle without it ever becoming anything dangerous, I would say.
Yeah, and that was exactly what I was suggesting, is that you've got a situation where you're controlling the puck, and that's great. But if it's not turning into anything, it's kind of a wasted energy. So I think that was part of the problem. That's probably one of the things the Jets are gonna have to get back to is getting to the front of the net and you know, banging and crashing and you know, establishing a bit of a presence. Because again, if you're gonna be kept to the perimeter and there was nobody then the other thing was, there's nobody really in front of Koskinen. I mean, like how much screening was there? I mean, so many of these shots from the point were not screened. So, I mean, it's, again, we've talked about that so many times. If you don't have the bodies in front, then really, I mean, not many goaltenders are going to be, I don't care who's taking the shot. Not many are getting burnt by a shot from the point or a wrist shot or a slap shot that they see the whole way. And so to me, if you don't have those guys in front, you know, it's kind of a wasted effort. And I just didn't think the Jets had enough guys going to the front, going to that dirty area and really creating some chaos in front of the Oilers net to give them that opportunity for first, second, third chances.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And you saw it, boys, a little bit with, you know, the Kopp, Lowry, Appleton line, like Appleton driving the net. And we know that, you know, he's able to do that. Same thing with Adam Lowry. And, you know, going back to the fourth line, obviously, you know, a really nice tip by Matty Perreault there. But I think especially early in the game, you saw Paul Maurice use them more than in other games. And that's because obviously that it was the second game of a back-to-back. And you guys know that, you know, one of the fourth lines I like the most in the NHL is the Cizikas, Clutterbuck, Martin line. I'm not even sure if Barry Trotz still has those three together. I haven't been watching a lot of Islanders because all we do is watch the North Division this year, but it's kind of similar to the way Trotz uses that fourth line. And prior to that, you know, Jack Capuano, and I guess Doug Weight was between them, right? But similar that he wouldn't be afraid to use those guys early in games, right? And you saw mm-hmm. that from Paul Maurice, because we don't see that from Paul Maurice. Usually the fourth line gets, what, a couple shifts maybe? Three shifts yeah. in a period, opening period. And I really thought that that was, you know, telling of the situation that they were in with a lot of tired bodies. You know, we thought there might be an off chance that Jansen Harkins got into the lineup. And, you know, I think his energetic style of play could have really added something to a, obviously a Jets team that, you know, was lacking energy because all of them had played the previous night, except of Lauren Brossoit, of course. But, you know, also to Dave's point, like, obviously this wasn't the best night for the Scheifele, Stastny, Wheeler line. But I thought, you know, Dubois, Connor, and Ehlers, considering that, you know, second game of a back-to-back here, you remember Connor hit the crossbar there. And, you know, there were a couple of other good scoring chances throughout the game. I thought that line was pretty good. So, yeah, I mean, you don't dwell on this, Drew, for sure. You're not that concerned about it. Lauren Brossoit played pretty well, I thought, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a similar situation to that last loss against the Canadiens, where leading up to the next game on Saturday night, boys, we're going to be talking about how the Jets are going to make sure, try to make sure, I should say, that, you know, they're not going to turn this into a couple game losing streak here, which they've obviously done a really good job all year of making sure that doesn't happen. But yeah, this is just a tight game where you were tired and you know, the bounces didn't go your way.
And, you know, the one thing I wanted to jump in on with what Ezzy just talked about was Paul Maurice was asked about, you know, having a guy like Jansen Harkins jump into the lineup, are you going to get a fresh body in? And he essentially said no. He essentially said, first of all, he was talking about his fourth line and enjoying the way they're playing. And but he also talked about he wasn't getting guys in just for fresh legs. So that was a concept we had discussed, was why wouldn't you put in a player who's capable? And Paul Maurice, you know, has kind of clung to this notion before in terms of, you know, using guys who can play multiple roles. And so that was kind of his knock on Christian Vesalainen, his knock on Jansen Harkins, essentially saying these guys aren't ready to play more than one role, meaning not just 5-on-5. Can you play on the power play? Can you play on the penalty kill? And I think that's kind of why he's keeping a guy like Trevor Lewis, a guy like Nate Thompson. But the reality is, I mean, how much do those guys play? 7 minutes? Matthew Perreault was the only one. He played over 8. But other than that, those other guys played under 8 minutes.
So Perreault was 720 at 5-on-5. Thompson was 737 at 5-on-5. And Trevor Lewis was 622 at 5-on-5. And it's not like this was a game with a lot of penalties. I mean, I think both sides had, what, one power play opportunity? Maybe the Oilers had a second one that I'm not, you know, off the top of my head that I can't think of. Yeah. So, you know, it was predominantly played at 5-on-5. And you know, look, I'm a critic oftentimes of Paul Maurice and some of his lineup usage, but the fourth line tonight for the Jets was not the problem. They were definitely possession positive.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm not complaining about that. I'm just saying that, you know, there's talk about wine, because I'm reading some of the comments in our chat, and people are saying about fresh legs. And I'm just saying, you know, hearing from what the coach has said in today's availability, you know, about 5 hours ago, 6 hours ago, and he essentially said he's not putting guys in. So I'm just saying, I'm not saying those guys need to be replaced. I'm simply kind of,
I know what you're saying,
as to why the coach was making the decisions that he did.
No, you're good. You're good there, Dave M. That makes sense. And you know, a comment that was just up, we just had on the screen, I believe it was Blake Wallace. I agree with him in terms of the defenseman minutes. Like, Neil Pionk was really good tonight. I think he was just over 27 minutes. But Josh Morrissey, you know, obviously, you know, he had a pretty strong game, but he's playing too much. And you look at Logan Stanley and Tucker Poolman, and they were around 12 or 13 minutes. And you wonder, in a game, Drew just mentioned this, there was only one penalty on each side. The Jets penalty, if you remember, that was in the first period. Derek Forbert took that penalty, right? So when a game is played at even strength, so the point is, right, like, if there was the power play minutes, then you expect Neil Pionk, Josh Morrissey to get some more minutes. But in a game in which was played for the most part at even strength, like, I'm not sure why Logan Stanley and Tucker Poolman weren't used. Like, I get why, in terms of, you know, you're chasing the game, you're down, you know, a goal there. I get that. But especially in the second game of a back-to-back, you know, I think I would have liked to have seen a little bit more. And, you know, when you're talking about this condensed schedule here, we know that at the end of the road trip, there's going to be the back-to-back against Calgary, right? Like, you're going to need your defensemen kind of averaging closer to 15 to 17 minutes, and you don't really want to see Morrissey and Pionk at, you know, 25 to 27 minutes. So, again, it's easy for us to sit here, you know, after the game and talk about this, but I think that was a factor here that kind of led to a really fatigued third period for the Jets.
Logan Stanley, to your point, Ezzy, 10 and a half minutes at 5-on-5 tonight, and Tucker Pullman a little bit more, 12:57 at 5-on-5 tonight. You know, a lot of comments coming in about Josh Morrissey and people saying that he struggled tonight. He was possession positive for the Winnipeg Jets at 5-on-5, 52.78%. Dylan DeMello led all Jets defensemen at 62.07% Corsi 4 percentage during the course of tonight's contest. So, you know, Josh Morrissey's error sort of stands out in that he wasn't able to handle the dump-in that rang around the boards and that skipped over his stick and ended up on Connor McDavid's stick and then quickly ended up in the back of the net. So I understand why people might say that, but, you know, this wasn't a game where I think you can point to one individual player and saying they had an off night. If you look at the Jets, you know, the fourth line, we talked about it, they were possession positive tonight. They were noticeable. They obviously scored the Jets' only goal. The Dubois, Ehlers, Connor line, also possession positive for the Winnipeg Jets. Dubois up at 59%, Ehlers at 54%, Connor at 52%. The other two lines, the other two forward lines for the Jets, were all sub 50% and sub 50% by a good margin when it came to possession. So, I mean, you know, it just, there wasn't a lot to this game. I mean, the Jets, in terms of high danger chances, the Jets led the Oilers 7-3. I mean, any hockey game that has a grand total of 10 high danger chances is not a very aesthetically pleasing hockey game. And that's certainly what we saw tonight.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, overall the game was, you know, like you're saying, like, you know, a lot of these lines were above 50%, but overall I think, you know, the Jets had a slight edge in expected goals, like, you know, possession. So overall this game was it was very close. Like, you know, there's one goal games where one team, you know, deserves more. In this game, you really can't say that, you know, the Oilers deserved more or the Jets deserved more. It was one of those games that was pretty back and forth. It was low event hockey. Like this was not like the Jets Leafs games that we saw, you know, a week ago, right? So, yeah, you're right. I mean, you look at this game at a macro level, and it was expected what happened, and it could have gone either way. And considering what happened yesterday with the Canadians push, the Jets could have easily lost a point there. So, yeah, the Oilers, you know, go ahead of the Jets for the time being, but. You know, that game to me was almost a microcosm of the entire season in the North Division. Like, there's so much parity. We thought there was going to be parity. It looked at one point like, you know, Vancouver and Calgary were completely falling out of it. I still don't think Vancouver has a shot because of all the games that they've played. But Calgary's still there, guys. Like, they're only, what, 3 points back of Montreal, something like that. Yeah. And so they're still in the conversation. Obviously, you know, Daryl Sutter, you know, has had, you know, an effect there.
Not last night.
Yeah, exactly. Not last night, Drew, you're right. But for the, you know, all the talk of, you know,
we have the Jets head coach Paul Maurice is at the podium. So we're going to bring in Jets head coach Paul Maurice right now.
I'm out there with just under 3 minutes trying to get the equalizer. What have you seen from them of late?
They're getting action around the net. They play a real simple game and it's a net drive game. And I just thought that with 3 minutes left, it was actually a combination. I did put Andrew Kopp in the middle with Perreault. But they're pretty focused on what they're doing. They're not looking to bring it back, and they're not looking for seam plays. It all ends up around the net. Trevor Lewis had a little chance around that net front. So when you get that line, the last line that goes out before you're thinking about pulling your goaltender, you'd like to get an offensive zone faceoff. I mean, you'd love to get a goal, certainly, but you're looking for kind of that sustained puck to the net idea. And I just thought those guys have been doing that now for a while. They look good.
We'll go next to Paul Friesen from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Paul, just wondering how you explain such a low event game, low shot game for these two teams anyway, especially from your big guns.
Yeah. I think if this game was played tomorrow night, we'd be back to lots of big chances at both ends of the ice. I think both teams beat the hell out of the puck tonight. We're pretty good systematically. They battled hard. Everybody worked real hard. But if you're going to run in the schedule that both teams are running and you put them back to back on travel, there's not going to be a lot of silkiness to what gets done out there.
We'll go next to Jeff Hamilton from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Jeff.
Paul, as a coach, I imagine there's a few players, opponents on the other team that you don't really love seeing with the puck in close. And I imagine Connor McDavid's one of them. I'm just kind of curious, you know, when a guy like that, when you give him that much space or give him any kind of space, that he can just kind of kill you.
Yeah, you're just not, there's no bad goals, right? Like certain angle shots, you're wondering if your goalie was off. He just, I mean, that's it's, I don't know if it's beyond an elite level, but the finishing skill is so unusual that your puck beats your goaltender. You don't assess your goalie.
Go next to Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Paul. I know it's a situation both teams faced last night, and I'm not asking for, it's not excuses or anything like that. No. I'm trying to get you to give me an idea help the common fan understand how big an ask it is to get athletes after what they've been through this month, what they went through yesterday, to generate energy on a night like tonight.
Yeah. So I mean, just to be fair, it's even here, right? So I'm not complaining. I'm just, you're going to look at the next month for the most part league wide. I mean, this game is going to get, it's going to be a grinder, right? I mean, we're all playing 16, 15, 16, 17 games. And that's a challenge. And you got some of these teams that are playing every single second night. Dallas's schedule comes to mind. So we're just not going to see the energy that you normally see, that, you know, when you get a team a couple of days off, they rebound, they get their legs going, and then that kind of opens the game in some way. So it's just going to be, I think, a grinder. We all expect it. It's not an excuse. They were one goal better than we were tonight, and I think that's about all you can say about the game. Like, you know, we cracked a couple posts. They had some good chances. It was hard fought. I think well played, but not smoothly played.
I'll go next to Scott Billick from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, Paul. And just kind of going back to Connor McDavid. I mean, in the last couple games you've played this team, you've limited, you know, him. And is it just a matter of, like, you kind of have to accept the fact that he's going to get a couple of chances and you're just
going
for the save or a stick or something? Like, what is it?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably, there's some truth to that, right? Looking for, you know, one of your defenders to kind of get to that next level, too. I think we've given more offense to him in the past. I think there was a lot of offense for either team, and they made the most on the ones that they had. We get the breakaway, and it's obviously not Connor McDavid on the breakaway, but There was no offense for either team in that game. He doesn't need much to.
Go next to Murat Ateş from The Athletic. Go ahead, Murat.
Thanks, Gregor. Hi, Paul. When a game is going to be not necessarily silky, and you kind of know that or anticipate that, you said you weren't surprised by it. What's the message, or how do you approach that? Because hockey is such, it's powerful, it's skilled, it's grit, it's, you know, how do you adapt to that game when you know it's going to be that way?
Well, I mean, I don't, the players don't have to be told. Some nights you got to go in and tell them what it's going to look like because they don't want to hear it. But that, I mean, everybody knew coming in on back-to-back. We've been playing a pretty good style, I think, in our last four of trying to be real careful about what we're giving up. You know, we had the turnovers against Montreal, but other than that, our last four, we've been pretty darn good with it. And they were too. So both teams had the same mindset. We're just going to limit the high risk stuff and we'll grind it and see what happens in the end. And then you're in that, you don't control the style of game, your own team all the time either. Right. They kind of came with the same mindset. Don't make a lot of mistakes and let's keep the play in front of us. And you end up with a game like that.
And final question to Ken Weaver from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Weaver.
Well, just based on where the play was, it wasn't a great replay. Looked like you were pretty well positioned for the retrieval on the hard rim. Did the puck skip, or how did it get?
Yeah, I can't tell from the camera on the bench camera. Just it went up the wall and was about a foot in the air when it went past Josh. But yeah, we were right where we were supposed to be.
Thanks very much, Coach.
Okay.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest-running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whiten my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go...
We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard!
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal, starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live, the post-game show. That was Jets head coach Paul Maurice. Had to pay some bills. I hope everybody understands that, you know, we got to give a shout-out to our sponsors. Got to play a couple commercials here and now. Thanks for
everyone. Can you pay my bills, Drew?
Can I pay your bills? No.
Yeah, that's property taxes, yeah. Cell
those
phone.
Aren't bills. That's debt. There's a big difference between bills and debt. That's what you've accumulated there, my
the money that friend. I owe Dave.
Yeah. We'll take it out of you. We'll take it out of you later on.
I owe Dave a big.
So we heard from Jets head coach Paul Maurice there. And, you know, I thought he, you know, similar to the line that I said, you know, that if this game had been played tomorrow, if both these teams had that extra day off, it would have been a different look to the game. And I think Saturday's game will be way more open. And that's probably not necessarily a great thing for the Winnipeg Jets, I should add. But I think Saturday's game will look far and away different from what we saw tonight. And, well, certainly should be more entertaining at the very least, because tonight, as we've talked about, was definitely a bit of a snoozer.
Yeah, absolutely. And Paul Maurice said it word for word, guys, what we were talking about. Like he said the word silky, of course, which was amazing. But I mean, he said that you shouldn't have expected the type of performance that you would get with a day's off, day's break, right? So, it's exactly right, Drew. I mean, this was a game in which you didn't see a lot of high danger chances from either side, like you said, right? Like the Jets limited the Oilers, what was it, to three high danger chances? Two of those were goals?
Right. Three high danger chances the entire game. That's what it was. Expected goals was 1.81 for the Jets to 1.43 for the Oilers. Right. I mean, that is, you know, there's been games for the Jets and the Oilers this year where they've had seven high danger chances in a period, never mind in the entire game. Or the Oilers, I mean, if you say that you limit Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl to three high danger chances in the course of a 60-minute hockey game, usually you think you're going to win that and you've done a good job against those guys. I thought the Jets did a fine job tonight against McDavid and Draisaitl. It just wasn't enough. And, you know, you can't give McDavid any chances because he just, you know, you saw Paul Maurice there. He said, you know, he's an otherworldly finisher. And that's what you saw with the, you know, with gobbling up the puck. And then with you saw with the second one, he's on a different plane than everyone else who's playing in the game on a nightly basis.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we talked about it last night when he was tearing up the Calgary Flames, right? Like there's a really good chance that he's going to hit 100 points. He might hit 110, 115. I mean, the guy can get 4 or 5 points in a game. And just back to tonight's game and the way it was played, it almost reminds you guys of, like, you know, playing community center hockey or high school sports when you have multiple games in one day, right? And then
hang on. What high school sports did you play?
I didn't play high school sports, but I played community center hockey.
Right. Okay. That's, you could have stopped at community center hockey there. I mean, well, maybe the closest thing you could have been at in high school was the mascot who was drunk in the stands at your high school's games. That's basically where you may have been at.
There's two things that I did do in high school. Cross country running. Actually wasn't too bad. I was a cross country runner. Shout out to, for those who went to Kelvin High School, shout out to Dr. Orlico. Cross country running. And I tried out for the golf team and almost made it, but I didn't make it. Tried out for the hockey team, didn't make it. But as Dave knows, that year in grade 12, I was the first overall pick in the Maccabiah Jewish Hockey League B division, and we won it that year.
Is there any video of you being a high school cross-country runner? Because I think I need to see that video.
Yeah, there's definitely – I don't think there's video of anybody doing cross-country, Drew. It's not exactly a televised type of event, but no, there was no video footage of me running.
I think that's a shame.
I was not a person who finished in the top three or top five.
Or finished.
But, you know, it was more so just to, you know, get the adrenaline running and keep in shape. But yeah, that's what, you know, tonight's game was like. It was like when you are, you know, just at the end of a tournament, and you just have nothing left in the tank, right? And that's why I think, you know, some of the performances in that game, you know, Neil Pionk playing 27 minutes, you know, that fourth line of Perreault, Trevor Lewis, and Nate Thompson playing really well from start to finish and getting a shift late in the game. So, yeah, you just kind of, as they say, you throw this one in the trash.
Yeah, and I honestly, with, like, to your point, Ezzy, this is one of those games where you've still got games in hand on the Oilers, sorry. And so you're sitting there, you're thinking, sure, the Oilers are now ahead of you. But again, it's what we've talked about. It's what we talked about last night. This is a Jets team that consistently shows that they can rebound from a loss and that they don't allow, you know, these things to build up. And so that's kind of what you're looking for. And I think Drew mentioned earlier, this is that kind of rebound performance that you anticipate from the Winnipeg Jets. So to me, it's always about what do they do next. And again, this isn't some sort of disheartening loss. It's not as if you got pumped. Toronto, I mean, Calgary was getting pumped 7-1, game finished 7-3 last night to the Oilers. But it really, McDavid, you made errors around Connor McDavid, and he generally is going to burn you, right? But the Jets had limited the Oilers, I think, to what, 6 shots when he scored. So, you know, you're sitting there going, it's not as if it was a terrible game for Winnipeg. They just neither team really was able to do what they do well in the contest. And so, you know, to me, it's a function of who was able to take advantage of the mistakes. And again, you know, Palmer's talked about it. Some teams, like the Jets hit the crossbar, that Kyle Connor opportunity that Nikolaj Ehlers set him up for, and, you know, he put it through and Costin made the save. That could have easily tied the game, right? So there were opportunities that the Jets could have been back into this contest, but ultimately, again, like I said, I don't think it's one of those ones that people are going to get too apoplectic about. At least you would hope. Mm-hmm.
And shout out to Sasha Rosen, by the way, for speaking of Kelvin High School.
Sasha commenting on the chat here. Welcome everybody that's joining us this, what is this? This is a Thursday night here, I think. The days are beginning to blend together with all these games in a row, but that's quite okay. You know, to your point there, Dave, you know, everyone sort of agrees that, you know, there's not a lot to take out of this game. There's not a lot to take away from this game. Does that mean that you'd expect to see the same lineup again on Saturday night when these two teams do battle again? I mean,
I don't anticipate that. I mean, again, Paul Maurice has indicated that, I mean, unless there's an injury, yeah. I don't think you're going to see Ville Heinola. I know people want to see Ville Heinola, but I mean, look, I watched Ville Heinola play for the Manitoba Moose when he was sent down in the AHL. There weren't many of us, I can tell you, watching live. I mean, people watch on AHL TV, but there weren't many people inside the iceplex watching him play. And he's a good player, and he's a solid defenseman. And I just don't know what it's going to take to get him into the lineup. Well, actually, I do know. And the answer is, I suspect, is an injury. Or if the Jets go on a run of losing. If the Jets start losing, then maybe you see Paul Maurice make some changes. But right now, with the way the team seems to rebound after a loss, again, absent an injury, I just don't know that you're going to see Villanueva, Jansen, Harkins get in, put in. And again, like I said, it's based on what Paul Maurice said. This isn't what I would do because I'm not the coach. I just make observations and tell you what I'm seeing. And ultimately, oh, I got the IC logo on my face. That's nice.
But, sorry, I clicked the wrong button.
But ultimately, I think...
Drew, people want to see less of you, not more of you.
So I think that's what it's going to take, unfortunately. I think from the standpoint of fans wanting to see change, you know, like I said, Jansen Harkins or Villanueva, you know, I could be wrong, but I listen to what the coach says. And again, he's the one who ultimately makes the decisions. And to me, it seems like those guys aren't going to come in unless there's an injury or, again, like I said, unless there's a losing streak.
I agree with that, but I don't necessarily think that that's the right way to approach it, Dave, right? Because there's two different things here. Obviously, there's a lot of Jets fans that are really excited to see Villanueva play for the Jets. Because as you mentioned, Dave, and you've watched the Moose more than anybody, you know, he's ready to go in the NHL. Like we had, you know, Grant McKagg, you know, sending us a message, you know, former pro scout in the NHL who runs recruits.ca, who's saying like he's ready. Craig Button has said that. We're going to have Craig Button on the Saturday show. Like most scouts agree, and obviously the Jets internally agree that Villanueva is ready for the NHL. But you wonder, you know, when is the perfect time? Like I said this to you guys last night. I think if Villanueva is going to get into the lineup, it's going to be later in the road trip, right? Jansen Harkins is a different situation. I think, you know, you could make a strong argument just to get a fresh body in there and, you know, get some energetic legs in the lineup. That's enough to get Harkins in, right? But especially with the way the fourth line has played lately, I don't expect that either, Dave. But, you know, you wonder if, you know, there can't be other reasons to get players in the lineup. Because these are different players completely. Like when you're talking about Harkins and Hinola, not just different positions, but Hinola's obviously spent the majority of the year, you know, not with the Jets. I don't think anybody should expect any changes Saturday, but we'll see as this road trip progresses. It's a long road trip, right? Like a lot of things are going to happen here. And especially, you know, towards the end, as I keep mentioning this, I'm a broken record here, boys. I apologize, but you know, you've got those three games against Calgary with the back to back. So, you know, that might be when Villanueva makes his debut this year.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'd love to know what Jansen Harkins is thinking. I mean, him more than anyone, I think I'd love to get him, inject him with some truth serum to hear what his thoughts are after basically being declared as a regular for the Winnipeg Jets at the end of last season. And well, that's quote unquote regular status has resulted in only 12 games this year for him in the Jets lineup.
But part of that is injury, Drew.
Of course, he was injured. No question.
I mean, you can't gloss over it. He had an injury in the training camp, and he's been injured. So it hasn't gone ideally for. And believe me, nobody has promoted Jansen Harkins and watched him again probably more than I have. So I'm not maligning Jansen Harkins by any stretch of the imagination, because I don't know that you'll ever see an athlete as intense and as focused as he is at perfecting and getting better. But you know what? At the end of the day, like. One thing Pascal Vincent said to me about Jansen Harkins when I spoke to him, I want to say last year at some point, and he said he never complained about what was happening. He never worried about that. He just stuck with it. And so to me, you know what, if you really want to know, look, does Jansen Harkins think he should be in the lineup? Yes. Does every fourth liner think they could be a second liner? Yes. I mean, the point is guys always want more. And coaching staffs don't have a problem with that. Like Pascal Vincent, Paul Maurice, they're never going to say that they're going to be upset about a guy wanting to be in the lineup, because if you don't want to be in the lineup, you probably shouldn't be in the league. So Jansen Harkins, of course he wants. He would tell you that. He wouldn't. It's not about injecting the truth serum. He would tell you himself, I want to play for the Winnipeg Jets. I don't want to be in the press box, or they're not in the press box anymore, but I don't want to be watching the games from afar. I want to be helping the team. So if you asked him, he would tell you he wants to play, and that's normal, because again, it would be abnormal for him not to want to be in the lineup. So to me, it's not a function of him not wanting, and obviously he has a high compete, and he's going to be keep himself ready. So I just think he's the kind of guy though who's not going to complain. He's just going to be ready for that opportunity, and if the opportunity comes, then he'll do what is necessary to, you know, like I said, do his best to stay in the lineup.
Yeah, there's not much Harkins can do, Dave. He, as you mentioned, you know, he wants to be in the lineup. He has to stay positive. He has to do everything in his power to stay game ready, right? Even though there's a really good chance that, you know, he's going to miss another game on Saturday as a healthy scratch. So, you know, we just have to hope that he gets into the lineup sooner rather than later. We talked about it. Like, you look at Montreal, Victor Mete was a healthy scratch, right? In favor of Xavier Ouellette. And Arturi Lehkonen was also a healthy scratch. Like, good players are healthy scratches across the league. And I agree with you, Dave. He's not going to sulk. He's not going to pout. He's just going to be ready when he's called upon.
And on that note, I'm reliably informed our good friends Ken Wiebe and Sean Reynolds are ready to go to keep the post-game coverage going. So we will wrap it up for tonight. Before we do, we want to remind you, of course, Saturday morning, 9 a.m., the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, live here on our YouTube channel. While you're here on our YouTube channel, if you haven't already done it, Dave's pointing down, smash the like button, smash the subscribe button, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, smash and it, hit it, touch it, tap it, whatever you want to do.
Make also, sure go to illegalcurve.com.
There you go. And go to illegalcurve.com.
And buy an Illegal Curve sandwich and go to Rumors and get your crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center and buy a pierogi pizza at Boston Pizza. And also use Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty.
Official realtors of Illegal Curve Hockey. Anyways, as I was saying, Saturday morning, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, already booked to join us. We're going to be joined by Sarah Orleski. We're going to be joined by Craig Button. Maybe another guest or two will let you know. Follow us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. We'll be back Saturday morning, and then again Saturday night, of course, with the post-game show after the rematch between the Jets and the Oilers. We encourage everybody to go check over to our buddies Sean Reynolds and Ken Wiebe. They are starting up their post-game show momentarily if they haven't already started, and the Kenny and Rennie show tomorrow 9 a.m. again on YouTube. They're going to be joined by Aaron Portsline and Louis DeBrusk, talk more about the Jets, and I guess with Portsline, check in on our old friends Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic, talk about maybe David Savard as well, who have been rumored the Jets to be interested in. Thanks everybody for joining us. A big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, Boston Pizza. Support these fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. For Ezra Ginsberg, for Dave Manuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. This has been the Illegal Curve Post Game Podcast.